Radha Govinda Radhe, 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 Radha Govinda Radhe. Welcome, very much welcome to this last session of our Bhakti Essential Course. We have been given 7 sessions so far, and I welcome all of you who have been there with us. And now comes the completing session, which, as we will see, will lead into a great surprise, but a little bit later we will hear about this. The Bhakti Essential Course, just to give you all a brief overview, is a level 1 Bhakti course, and it was and is meant for all of those who would like to spark, give an initial spark to their spiritual journey or bhakti journey. But I had also a second group of, or I have also a second group of participants in mind. That is all of those who would like to establish deep fundamentals of understanding on which they can base and build their bhakti practices. Let me take you now through all the sessions so that you will see how they build upon each other and build a consistent whole, and this will help us in the last session very much. We started to explore one of the main principles of bhakti, that is identity. I think you will agree with me that every true spiritual journey, including the bhakti journey, starts with this fundamental understanding of our true essence. Who am I really when everything falls away that is not me? Then, from there, we reached out to the higher reality. Once we understand that we are an eternal being full of inner knowing and full of bliss, we naturally wish to go into the world of the spirit and explore the divine reality and the supreme reality. Then, the third session, also quite conclusively, was building on these two earlier concepts. That is Bhakti Yoga. What paths can we, as highly limited, conditioned living beings, take in order to reach also that spiritual reality, that supreme being? It should not remain just a theoretical concept, but an enlivening, absolutely fulfilling experience. So we learned about various bhakti paths. And in the fourth session, we address the deities of bhakti. You could call bhakti as an active devotion, or like I like to call it, devotion in motion. It moves somewhere. And that goal has an address. The deities are, so to say, an address for our devotion. Then, in the fifth session, we turned to the most powerful practice of bhakti, mantra meditation, and kirtan. We learned that the Supreme really has no material form, but he does take the form of mantras or of sacred names. And these were immediately bringing us into a divine contact. Thus, mantra meditations and kirtan are, if you so want, the two big main practices done on the bhakti path. Then we went into what we call sangha, or spiritual relationships. And the reason was that relationships form at times a safety net, so that even when you are not in your strongest, you don't go down very much when you have these uplifting relationships. But more than being a safety net, spiritual relationships are maybe the greatest impetus on the spiritual path for those who are sincere spiritual practitioners. The seventh session was on seva. We can easily call seva the heart of bhakti, because shruti seva, that heart knot in the heart, the false ego, gets cut asunder so that we are free to move on. Seva, of course, means service in a spirit of selflessness. It's very important. You can be in your rowing boat and row and row and row, but if you have not yet lifted the anchor, you won't really move forward. In the same way, you can make a lot of efforts on the spiritual path, but if the anchor of the ego and self-centered activities is not lifted, on the rope to the anchor is not cut, you will make only minimal progress. The last session now, with which we want to complete everything, is called Bhakti in Daily Life. I think many of you have asked, okay, so far so good, but please tell me clearly, how do I organize my day so that I can be rooted or firmly situated in the spiritual reality? And with this last session, we are trying to give an answer to this very, very important question. Now, I need to already say, at this stage, I think we get an idea that these are very systematic presentations on bhakti. At least it is a genuine effort and attempt to organize the material and the experiences and practices systematically. So I highly recommend, if you want to go again through some of these building blocks, these essential principles of bhakti, you can all find them on my YouTube channel. And I will give you the link in the comment section. Yes. All right then, let us start today's session in earnestness. I would like to start with giving you the principles of bhakti, because if you have principles, or let us say some building blocks which will help you to do bhakti, you can apply them in all given and changing circumstances of your life. But before I start, I want to really give you something that helps you to understand why mindsets are influencing our whole life. It's a really interesting research. The Harvard psychologist Ellen Langer once, for her research, took 84 hotel maids from 7 carefully chosen hotels which had the same built up. She then split these 84 groups into 2 groups. The first group, it was composed of 44 hotel maids, were told an unfamiliar truth. They never had thought about this. That is, pushing a vacuum cleaner, scrubbing the tops, pulling old bed sheets off the used beds and spreading the beds with new bed sheets, and so on. Everything they would do every day was a fantastic physical workout that brings people to amazing health levels. Before that, this first group of 44 hotel maids told the researchers, upon being asked, that they had very, very little exercises. Most of them said, no, no, we never exercise. But now they learned something significantly. They learned 15 minutes of vacuum cleaning, and we don't speak now of very athletic vacuum cleaning like Mr. Rinaldo would make, the football star. No, normal vacuum cleaning. That burned 50 calories of fat in the body, that they were told. And other things, when you change the bed sheet, this burns so much calories and so on. And then the other group, these 40 other hotel maids, which we call the control group, was told nothing at all. They were just going on. They were just said, we will make a little research here. Now, after a month, Ellen Langer and her team returned and interviewed the 2 groups of hotel maids, checked their weight, their blood pressure, and other health parameters, how much fat they had around the belly, etc. They did the same for the control group. Now, the first group that was told about the health benefits of their jobs, you know, vacuum cleaning, changing the beds, tidying the rooms, etc. This first informed group had significant changes. They had lost a lot of weight, their blood pressure dropped, and other health benefits. Whereas, and I don't think this is very surprising, this second control group, which was not informed, had no changes whatsoever. Now, this brings out a startling truth. You may do an activity but have no understanding of what you do, or no mindset, no enthusiasm for what you do, and the result will be one thing, but you may do the exact same thing with enthusiasm, with focus, with a certain mindfulness, with an inner engagement, and you have an entirely different result. The mind shapes the matter and the lives, and you can measure this by the health benefits, the brain performances, and so on. Now I believe that some of you who are viewing this have heard about such research. You have heard about what is called in science the placebo effect, the mental orientation that does totally create wonders and miracles. But Bhakti takes this principle of how a mindset changes and influences everything a step further, a significant step. Basically, it says, spiritualize your mind with Bhakti and you will have a divine life. If my understanding is that there is a loving, kind, and very powerful being whom I can contact now at this moment, then my life will be so much different than when I think the supreme truth is inaccessible, I cannot communicate with it, and it is totally aloof and indifference. What to speak of those who are totally unaware that there is even a higher existence. So if my understanding, and this is the point of Bhakti, is raised, then wow, I will interact with a divine reality, and that will totally influence my life to the better. Now, in the beginning, when we start our Bhakti journey, a little focus is required. Because if you lose the focus, you fall out of this divine vision, so to say, or this spiritual vision. Later, the focus will be always there because you are in love with the Supreme. But in the beginning, to invoke that most powerful thing, focus is required. Otherwise, the mundane life will just continue without stoppage. What is important is that Bhakti can be done while you are in the midst of the world without being affected by the world. However, it is important to remain mindful of the goals of Bhakti. I think a parable will help us understand. Once there was a priest who had noticed that his king was a greatly self-realized soul. Despite being engaged in so many state affairs, the king remained very focused in his spiritual practice, whereas the priest, on the other hand, found it very difficult to be focused, especially when he had to interact with so many different people on so many different levels who sometimes, disturbed his balance. So seeing the king, who was so much more engaged with worldly activities and with various kinds of people who demanded his time, seeing the king being so successfully focused on the spiritual level, the priest decided, I must go and meet him and ask him the question, what is your secret? So he managed to get an audience of the with the king, and he asked him, Your Majesty, Maharaj, I see you are so focused on the spiritual level. How do you do this, even though you are engaged with so many different people? Now the reaction of the king was absolutely surprising. He flew into a rage and he yelled at the priest, how can you be so indecent, so absolutely indecent and insensitive, that you overstep your position and dare to ask your king such a total private question. I sentence you to death. The only way, he said. Then he thought for a moment. The only way to escape punishment is if you manage to carry in your hands a bowl which is filled with oil up to the rim while you are shown through my palace. The priest was trembling. The king asked a sentinel, you know, a guard, to come, and he said, this guard will accompany you with a drawn sword. The guard took out a killer sword. He will show you around in the palace and the gardens and so on. But the moment where even the tiniest amount from that oil is spilled on the ground, he will execute you on the spot. No pardoning, no hearing of your case. You will be dead. The priest got the oil bowl and he knew, if I spill a drop, I will be beheaded. And who knows if he hits right at the first hit. So the guard took him through all the huge rooms, even the private room, through the gardens and so on. And it is not too astonishing that the priest took a long time. He was trembling. He moved very slowly. His whole consciousness was absolutely focused on that oil bowl. And he returned. He was surprised to find the king in a very relaxed mood. He said, so how did you like my palace, and how was the park? The priest said, I didn't see anything. I just saw the bowl of oil. Nothing else came into my awareness. At this, the king smiled. He said, ha, here you have your answer. Your consciousness was fixed. It was focused. It was absorbed, immersed, and therefore you didn't see any distractions. I similarly only see God in all things, not their appearances, and in this way distraction is not possible for me. Although I'm surrounded the whole day with the various distracting affairs of my state, I can see and remain focused on the Supreme Lord. And therefore, I'm not distracted even in the midst of all kinds of distractions. Now, I agree, it may be difficult to be focused entirely out of shock or fear on a task that you absolutely do not like. But to focus on the one whom you love makes it very easy. And the side effect is that you will be freed from all distracting thoughts. The prime example of this can be found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis or the cowherd maidens of Vrindavan, who did all their household activities but who kept their mind focused on the Lord. It is described that their minds were like the minds of great yogis whose thoughts, like rivers, flowed without interruption into the nectarian ocean of Krishna's qualities. Focus of the mind is very, very good in bhakti, and it comes automatically. In the Bhagavad Gita, this is expressed so nicely. Manmana bhava mat bhakto. Manmana, think of me always and go into the inner mood of a servant or a devotee. That situation is a high level of bhakti yoga. There is a very nice poet called Kabir who highlights this divine love. He says that this love of God is the essence of all spiritual disciplines. And in his very nice way of writing, he says, "Oh, saintly one, love of God is the best of all practices. I do not shut my eyes to the world, nor do I shut my ears, nor do I mortify my body. No, I behold his beauty everywhere. I utter his name, and whatever I see, it reminds me of him. Whatever I do becomes his worship. Wherever I go, I move around him. By doing his service, I'm immersed in that one great bliss which transcends all pleasure and all pain." This is the point. There are three steps in bhakti. Sambandha means the fundamental understanding. I am part and parcel of the most attractive and loving Supreme. But at the moment, I have forgotten our relationship. Today, I wish to reconnect by offering my activities for his pleasures. This brings you into the fundament of bhakti. Then comes the second step, abhideya. It relates to our spiritual practices and offering our daily activities for the pleasure of the divine. You, in this way, increase your attraction, that it is not difficult to retain the focus. And then you get to the goal, the third step, full absorption, full immersion of the consciousness in divine love and freedom from the samsara, the worldly entanglement of the mind. Good. I told you we would now go into the bhakti in daily life. and give you some tips and exercises. The first thing, it all starts with a basis. The way you start and end your day influences your mindset and your entire life. Start the day with spiritual practices such as chanting and reading sacred scriptures. When I lived in one ashram in the Himalayas, there was an old man just next to me, and I knew him. He woke up and he immediately started to sing Jai Ram, Jai Govinda, and in this way started his day. So you can start to chant some mantras. Oh Radha, oh Krishna, I'm calling out your names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and so on, in the great hope that you will be merciful to me and allow me to be engaged in your service. Or a simple prayer. Oh Govinda, oh Ishan, oh Rishikesha, various names. No? You have awakened me, and now I'm ready to do whatever you make me doing. When I once visited a Buddhist retreat where I was presenting bhakti, the facilitator told me that the Dalai Lama woke up with such a prayer in the morning. I forgot exactly the words, but I became inspired to do some powerful affirmations, which I would like to teach you as part of the exercise which we will do now. My exercise is called Starting the Day with Strength. I request you now to put everything aside. It's time to exercise. If you have not found already a comfortable sitting place, please do so now, either on a cushion or the floor or on a chair. Sit straight and center yourself. Let the day and whatever else is going on in your life peacefully settle. When you're ready, close your eyes and arrive in the present moment. Inhale and exhale for a few times, bringing your mind to your ingoing and outgoing breath. Stay with your breath. Now, move inside and bring your attention to the innermost core of your heart, the effulgent heart space. This is where you are. Your essential self, which is full of unlimited joy and inner knowing. move into that heart space. And from there, connect and turn to the Supreme. Contemplate there about your intention to live your day in bhakti. Today, I'm fortunate. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm going to use this day well. I will utilize my intelligence and energies to grow in my bhakti and develop in all my activities and encounters. I will be kind to others and aware of the divine presence in my heart as well as in the hearts of others. Today, I will utilize my activities by dedicating them for the pleasure of the Supreme. I remain in this space for a while and chant the following kirtan with us. Radhe Govinda, Radhe, Radha Govinda, Radhe. We sing Radha Govinda, Radhe. Radha Govinda Radhe, Radha Govinda Radhe, Radha Govinda Radhe. Radha Govinda Radhe, Radha Govinda Radhe, very nice to to sing with you. And we would like to sing much, much longer. But you know, time is also there. So throughout the day, now we will talk about what to do in the day. Throughout the day, make sure to look for the right company. Dedicate all your activities. There is a saying. Tell me who, with whom you are, and I will tell you who you are. I think you have seen that when you are with people who have a negative outlook to life, it could make us also depressive. But if you stay with really uplifting people, their association is likely to implant within your heart the same qualities which they either have or which they are cultivating. One always meets people who say how easy it was for them to give up an unfavorable bad habit and take on good ones when they changed their association and stayed with the right people. Of course, not when you close your heart, but when you are open for change, or if you wish to change something in your life, take the appropriate association. It goes really, you're on the fast lane of change. Then the next thing I would like to say throughout the day, dedicate your activity to the Supreme. And it's easy because in one sense, there is nothing but the Supreme. So you can cook for Krishna. You can dance for Krishna. You can work on a computer for Krishna. You can do surgery for Krishna. You can play violin. It only needs to change the mind so that you go on the spiritual level of bhakti. There's a Gita verse. It says, a person who is absorbed in spiritual work, you know, where he does this as a dedication, an offering. He sees the offering, the work, and its acceptance as pure spirit. And such a person enters the spiritual nature. And then finally, end the day in the right way. And there's a saying that between the last moments, just before you fall asleep, and then the first waking moments, there is a tunnel. A subtle tunnel that extends through your subconscious mind. Now when you, at the last thing in the evening, utter a prayer, think of an elevated thought by reading a wisdom text, chant a mantra, meditate, or you practice some simple gratitude, and you do this before you fall asleep as your last impressions, you will travel through your subconscious mind, or these last impressions, not you, these last impressions will travel through your conscious subconscious mind and affect your dreams silently. You will have spiritual dreams. Not these often confused dreams where one scene comes from here, another scene from there, and they all mix up. And then you wake up refreshed and start your day with good spirits. I usually end my day with this meditation. Whatever I have done with my body, said with my words, thought with my mind, experience with my senses, try to comprehend with my intelligence, I, according to this nature which I have, I offer that to you, my Lord. Contemplate like this, last thing before you go to bed, and the impressions will go through your subconscious mind, and you will have a blissful restorative night and wake up with strength. Simple. We call it the sandwich program. Start your day with strength, end your day with a spiritual note, and in between spiritual activities, direct spiritual activities like kirtan, meditation, and also dedicating your work, whatever it is, and bringing it in contact with the Supreme. Then you have a very powerful sandwich which you cannot buy in any store of this world. You have to prepare it in your own consciousness. My conclusion is, while the materialist looks at the world in order to find something to enjoy, and while the beginning spiritualist tries to look away from this world to not get entangled, the Bhakti Yoga has a third perspective. He looks beyond this world. He sees how to use it for his self-realization in the service of the Lord. That's very deep, and that brings him beyond. So with this motto, looking beyond, he lives his day in a spiritual way, free from all kinds of obstacles. Good. I'm very happy to have been able to reach this conclusion with all of you. I will now be a little fast, some concluding announcements. While I have already the door handle in one hand and am exiting this series, this was the last episode of Bhakti Essentials. Thank you so much for participating. A really great honor and joy to share all with all of this. Again, I want to say, if you want to rewatch previous sessions, you may do so either on my YouTube channel or on my Facebook page. Please see the links in your comment section. Another announcement. Please visit my Facebook page tomorrow morning, Central European Time, because there you will receive several tips how to practice Bhakti in your daily life. You can have this. Don't think you should go with a sheet of paper like this through your daily life, but you can get a few good ideas that will spiritualize your day. Also, we will post today's meditation tomorrow on that Facebook page. And finally, a very inspiring announcement. People have written me and said, how will we go on after the eighth session? We should have more of this. And yes, we will have. In about 3 weeks' time, I wish to start teaching something I have been working on for 15 years. I have been consulting many spiritual teachers in the Bhakti tradition, in other traditions. I worked with psychologists on this, professors, artists, and editors. I really want to make this my best contribution to the world. It is a spiritual life school. Yes, a spiritual life school. Where I wish to offer from this rich spiritual tradition of Bhakti guidelines that will really work. Therefore, I needed to correspond and work together and get people's influence and influential statements so that I can how to say, make it teachable. It will be the wisdom as it is, but it will be presented in such a way that it can really affect deep, deep changes, so to say. The Life School is designed to help you on your spiritual journey on all levels, physical levels, emotional level, social level, how to interact with others, and of course, based on the spiritual level. This is a rich tradition. It is around since thousands of years. There's a lot of experience and a lot of insight, which I feel is answering many, many questions. So it's my greatest pleasure to start teaching that. Stay tuned in, visit my Facebook and Instagram pages to be informed when it starts and about all the other upcoming online courses. And I have one little note here. If you are someone who wants to have everything as quickly and you are an email person, you can get an automatic email notification about the upcoming courses on the Spiritual Life School. And please write a short email to this address, which you will find info@sachinandanswami.gmail.com. So yes, that was all. I am watching now the clock here, and it's time for me to say a very, very grateful goodbye and see you very soon again.